Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and we are in the Word of Wisdom module, and we are in the second part of it. And before I get started, let me just remind you, the Word of Wisdom is the first of the three gifts of Revelation. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, all nine, can be divided up into three categories: revelation, power, and inspirational utterance. We are in the revelation study, and we're working with the Word of God's wisdom, and it's exciting. So let me open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for wisdom. We thank you for all wisdom that you so wonderfully supply. But Lord, in this study, we want to thank you for that special gift, that charisma, grace of your Holy Spirit called the Word of God's wisdom. And so, Father, we thank you for it. We desire it. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know, it's good as you're going through this to say a little prayer. Lord, I desire this. Number four, the Word of God's wisdom. Peter to the crowd, Acts 2, verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Note, Peter, through this revelation, was making known to all present that this gift of the Lord's power was to all, even to those who were afar off. Unknowingly, Peter was speaking of the Gentiles that would come into the body of Christ. We see the depth of this revelation fully manifest in Acts chapter 10 with the conversion of Cornelius, his household, and the Gentiles, thus making Peter's statement at this point in his life and ministry even more profound. And let me just expound here. There is a difference between natural wisdom that you find in the book of Proverbs, natural wisdom that when you need to make a good decision and you pray, Lord, give me wisdom. That is God's wisdom. It comes from above. It's wonderful. It's full of peace. You understand it and you begin to implement it, right? But this is not the Word of God's wisdom. The Word of God's wisdom comes as the Spirit of God wills. Natural wisdom comes as man begins to seek God and to apply himself and to gain knowledge. And then with that knowledge, he says, God, help me to put it together so that it works. That's different. This wisdom is supernatural. It comes from the very mind of God. And in this passage, Peter is speaking concerning all. And that's what he says. And to all who are afar off. Now, Peter's natural mind didn't even understand what he was saying. And you see that later on in Acts chapter 10, before he is sent to Cornelius's house, he didn't understand salvation to the Romans or to the Gentiles. But here, his spirit is so full of the Holy Spirit, he is speaking forth from this gift, from this operation, and his natural mind doesn't understand it. And that can happen because this is a gift of the Spirit. It comes from the Spirit of God into our spirits, and we can be speaking it out and not even understanding it completely. And you say, well, Brother Eric, can you give me a little more information on that? Well, sure. Isaiah, in his book, Isaiah chapter 7, he began to speak about a virgin giving birth. Now, to the natural mind, that does not make sense. And so, but he knew it was the Holy Spirit, and he began to declare it. He wrote it down. It's in the book of Isaiah, but he didn't understand what that meant. He didn't understand when it was going to happen. And so that is a wonderful understanding pertaining to this operation of the Holy Spirit coming with this type of wisdom. And so what we're working here is differentiation. so you can understand what wisdom are you dealing with. Now let's go on to number 5. Peter talking about the church age. Acts 3 verse 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. Note, Peter once again begins to flow in a word of wisdom pertaining to times and seasons. Even though Peter had heard the Lord declare that he would go away and then return, he did not understand that the restitution of all things while the Lord is in heaven included the Gentiles being saved. Also, the word until. Now, let me pause. Go up there and circle that word until. That's very key to this passage, to this operation. So, also the word until, which deals with the boundaries of time and seasons, is key to this revelation. Acts 1 verse 7. He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his power. Now, what Jesus is saying here is that there are times and seasons, and the Father is in control of these times and seasons. So here is Peter. He is stepping into this eternal realm and speaking forth under the operation of this word of God's wisdom. And he's talking about the church age until the times of restitution of all things. Oh, I mean, I love this one. This one's got a lot of depth to it. It makes you think. And Peter didn't totally understand everything he was saying, but he was speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to number 6. The word of wisdom, Peter declares that it was sent to the Jews first and then to the nations. Acts 3 verse 26, unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquity. Note, we know that Peter did not have full revelation at this time concerning the gospel being preached first to the Jews. It was after Cornelius's conversion and his baptism in the Holy Spirit that Peter and the other apostles understood the mind of God concerning the far-reaching power of salvation. In short, Peter, by revelation, made it clear that it was to the Jews first. Paul, in his epistles, makes this truth clearer, Romans 1 verse 16. Because this operation of revelation comes from the Spirit of God to the spirit of a man, it is possible to speak without your natural mind understanding the fullness of what was being spoken. This was obvious in this verse with Peter, as it was with Isaiah concerning many of the things he had declared. And I like to use the example of Isaiah talking about the virgin's going to give birth, but there was a lot that Isaiah declared. He didn't understand it all, but he was flowing in that gift, and he was flowing in that wonderful anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let's go on to number 7, word of wisdom. Peter declaring salvation only in Jesus' name. Acts 4 verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Note, only by revelation could Peter preach this sermon. Can you imagine the revelation Moses was receiving from heaven as the Lord wrote the Ten Commandments into the stone tablets? It was no different for Peter as he preached that salvation was only by faith in Jesus' name. The Jews had been sacrificing animals for over 1,000 years, and now Peter, through the power of the Holy Ghost, was changing a key aspect of the doctrine of forgiveness and cleansing. This truly was a new thing being established by the Lord. Also, it was the power in the name of the Lord that carried God's saving grace to the ends of the earth. Luke 24, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, let me add just a further thought here. I want you to put yourself in the place of these Jews, especially in Jerusalem, where people were coming up and they were sacrificing at the temple. And all of a sudden, Peter is declaring that the name of Jesus and by faith in his name, right, is where forgiveness is. Now, in the current day that we live in, we understand this. This is not some big revelation to us because of church history. We understand this. But to those Jews, this was like night and day. You mean, Peter, I don't have to sacrifice a lamb? I can just believe on the name of Jesus, and that's the same? I mean, it's more than the same. It really cleanses you. Oh, yeah. Well, that's an operation of this gift in operation. So let's go on to number 8. Peter dealing with Sapphira, Acts 5, verse 9. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door. Now here we go. Circle this. And shall carry you out. Peter, through this gift of revelation, was foretelling of a coming event and what it would be. First, Sapphira, you're going to be judged. Second, that judgment's going to be the same as your husband's. Meaning, Sapphira, you're going to die. Well, that's a great example of this operation of the Holy Spirit in manifestation right there in front of the church. This is crucial. Very powerful. The church must have these gifts, these operations of the Holy Spirit in them. Okay, number 9, word of wisdom. The angel gives specific direction to the apostles. Acts 5, verse 20. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Note, the normal response to having broken out of prison is to flee. In this passage, the Lord gives specific orders to the apostles concerning his will. Go stand and speak in the temple. This gift gives revelation for direction into the will and purposes of God. Take this a little bit slow here. If it was you and me, as soon as we got out of prison, we're heading to the next nation. We're heading to Canada. We're heading to Sweden. We're heading somewhere. But we're not going to go back to the scene of the crime or to the temple where we originally were arrested. No, we're not going to do that. And I'm kind of making it a little bit fun here. But when the angel began to speak, this operation of the Lord's mind, Peter, go back to the temple. And I want you to teach. I want you to preach. I want you to speak in my name. Now, that would take revelation from the mind of God to do, because that goes against everything your flesh would want to do. Therefore, this is by divine revelation. Very powerful. Number 10, word of wisdom. An angel speaks to Philip, giving direction. Acts 8, verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go. Now circle that, and go towards the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Note, in this example, Philip was only given a fragment, a piece of information pertaining to the physical direction into the will of God. In this word, Philip was given both the direction south and which road to travel on. That was all. Once again, the Lord was revealing his will to Philip, though not all of his will, only a word of it. Isn't that wonderful? And so here we see Philip is, he's in Samaria. He's having a tremendous revival. He's seeing what all of us desire to see, the power of God fall, signs, wonders, miracles, people being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then this word of God's wisdom, wisdom into that which pertains to the future, that which pertains to the mind of the Lord or the will of the Lord. And it's not even a whole lot of it. It's just a word. It's a piece of that wisdom. And in this situation, it was enough to get Philip moving into the direction of obedience. And sometimes that's how the Lord works. He doesn't give you the whole picture. He only gives you enough to get you moving. And as you move, you're dependent on Him for the next step. Let's go to number 11, the word of wisdom. The Holy Spirit gives Philip more information. Acts 8:29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and join yourself to this chariot." Note, very often the Lord will only give an initial word or piece of direction. We were just saying that. However much He gives, it's always enough for us to activate our faith towards obedience. And I know I just said that, but I want to underline it and say it again. You know, sometimes we always want the full picture. And a lot of times, most of the time, God doesn't do that. He gives you enough in order for you, by faith, to begin to move into obedience. I want you to think about Abraham. Abraham, leave your family, leave your homeland, go to a land I'm going to show you. He didn't have all the picture. He just began to move into the direction of God, into the direction of God's mind, into the direction of God's future for him. And that's why this is that operation of the word of wisdom. Now, remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Then, as we obey, walking in the realm of faith, He gives us more information or direction. In this case, once Philip arrived, the next piece of information was then given. This is a classic example of how the Lord uses this gift in our lives. In short, it is simply a word or a piece of information that supernaturally points us in the direction of God. Let's go on to number 12, word of wisdom. Jesus gives direction to Paul. Acts 9, verse 6. And he, trembling, astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do." Note, the Lord answers Paul's prayer. Arise and go into Damascus. The Lord raises His expectancy in knowing that while He is in Damascus, it will be told Him what to do. This gift gives revelation into coming events. Now, let me just pause here. Many times when you see this word being spoken by the Lord, arise and go, boy, you ought to just go, okay, this is the word of God's wisdom because it's giving direction here. Did God give the full picture to Paul? No, but He gave enough for Paul to obey. And in this obedience, there is an expectation in Paul for what's coming. Okay, in what he needs to receive from the Lord. So it's good to understand these things because maybe the Lord's going to speak to you and you're not even realizing that's a word of God's wisdom. But Lord, you didn't give me enough. Well, the Lord's saying, I gave you enough and you just need to start moving in obedience and then the Lord will give you more. Wonderful. Let's go on to number 13. The word of wisdom, Ananias receiving direction. So in number 12, Jesus is talking to Paul, and now the Lord's speaking to Ananias. Acts 9, verse 11. And the Lord said to him, arise and go. Now, let me just pause you. There's those words again, arise and go. into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. Note, a word of wisdom is sometimes just a word. The Lord's will was revealed in this passage by the words, arise and go. With these words, Ananias had enough information to begin moving by faith into the directional will of God. As the Lord was revealing his will, he then, through the word of knowledge, revealed the present tense details needed to find Saul. Many times the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge work together. Wonderful. Number 14, word of wisdom. Paul receiving revelation of what is going to happen. Acts 9, verse 12. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive sight. Note, Ananias, through the operation of the word of knowledge, was given information concerning Paul's vision. The simple phrase, that he might receive his sight, to Ananias is an operation of the word of knowledge. That means present tense information. But to Paul, it is an operation of the word of wisdom concerning the future. Through this revelation, Paul was given hope for his future. So let me pause and clarify it. Paul is having a vision, and in that vision, the Lord is revealing to him, you're going to receive your sight back. That is a word concerning the future. It also gives expectation to him. But with that, Paul realizes that there's a man named Ananias coming, and at the same time, God is speaking to Ananias, and Ananias is seeing everything going on with Paul, and to Ananias, it was a word of knowledge. So these gifts of the Holy Spirit, these divine operations of charisma, grace, are putting this whole thing together. How important are these charisma operations of the Holy Spirit to the church? And I think sometimes the word gift is really a bad word, because sometimes we think, oh, I'm not worthy of a gift like that. And we start judging this by how we see ourselves. Well, the first thing we need to do is see ourselves in our location in Christ. And these wonderful charisma operations, Jesus said, it's so you get the advantage. And so we need to be saying, God, I claim this. I want this. I'm going to have this in Jesus' name. I desire it. So let's pause here. And we're going to pick up with number 15 in the next session. But there's a lot that we just went through. Got to go back and listen to it and build your faith. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word we've received. We desire these gifts. We desire these operations. And we thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.